Welcome to Stories and Stanza. I am excited to have you here. My podcast explores prose, poetry, and history. I'll take you on a journey through the human experience, sharing stories and conversations to uplift your spirit. Whether you are a lover of literature, a writer, or simply someone who enjoys a good story, Stories and Stanza is the place for you. Today is another episode of the In Author's Chair segment, where we talk to writers about their work, publication, motivation, and challenges. Please join me in welcoming Kai Garvey for today's episode. She is a published writer and literary podcaster from Australia who is here to talk about her work in children's literature and share her experience in the podcasting space. I was lucky to find her time during her holidays, and I truly enjoyed talking to her and listening to her stories, especially Easy Peasy, which is about a young girl, Ruby, who gets a new pair of roller skates but soon realizes it's not as easy as she thought. I loved how she used sounds in her story and embedded a subtle message for the young readers. I'm sure you'll find her work inspiring, as she works on many projects to give back to the community. I'll leave the links to her podcast, her book, and the links to the Books in Homes program. Good morning.
Hi, Abra. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, welcome to Stories and Stanza, and I'm really excited to have you here. In this podcast, I try to speak to authors and know about their journey, learn from their writing process and their challenges and their discipline, etc. And I'm also very keen to know about your journey as a podcaster. So for our listeners, would you mind giving a brief introduction, please?
My name is Kai Garvey. I write short stories and picture books for kids. I'm also the host of Totally Lit, which is a literary podcast. And I do a similar thing to Stories and Stanza, where I interview Australian authors and chat to them about their writing craft and their journey from aspiring author to established author.
Thank you so much. You said something yesterday to me, which I've been thinking about since we spoke, that there are so many podcasts out there, but it's so important that we start our own and we voice what we, you know, want to talk about. And that was really, really great. I mean, to start our discussion, can you talk a little bit about your motivation behind a literary podcast?
I started writing around 2017 in a more professional manner. So I've always written, but once I graduated from uni, I was like, oh, I would like to write. But the submission process is actually a little bit drawn out, and so it can take a long time to get results. And I was looking for a way to be able to create and to be part of the literary community, and I decided I would start a podcast to do that. So my husband has his own podcast that he's been going for about 10 years now. And I said to him, oh, would you help me with the technical side of a podcast? I'd like to do something where I interview other authors and find out how they have gone from the start of their career to where they are now. So he does all my tech stuff for me, and I do sort of like the booking of guests and the interviews and the promotion and things like that. And it's been a wonderful process, and especially for my confidence as well, because I'm quite an introverted person by nature. So that it has helped me a little bit with that imposter syndrome that we all have as well, especially when you're chatting to another author that is well established, and for them to say, oh, that was an interesting question, oh, I really enjoyed that interview, like, it gives you a little bit of a boost. So while you're trying to get published, having other creative pursuits, I've found, has been really helpful to keep up my motivation.
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. I mean, my podcast is very new, and I am slowly getting accustomed to it, and speaking to different guests and understanding their motivation. It has been it's been a very interesting journey so far, and I feel that, you know, that authors that they sometimes need a platform where they can come and share their creativity without the fear of getting judged. That this podcast really helps, that they have a book or they have a project that they're working on, and maybe they have published previously, but they are all in a different space where they want to be heard. Which is my takeaway from this, like, that I'm able to support the creative community in a way and be enriched by that process as well.
And I find it's a great way to give back to people, other authors that have supported me in the beginning when I was like, oh, I think I want to be an author. And there were certain people who've been mentors to me. And now I can give back to the community by promoting people's work and sharing who they are with other authors.
Do you think that the literary podcast has helped other writers?
Oh, yes, definitely. With my interviews, I share them as far as and wide as I can. And especially when you're a new author, it sometimes can feel like there's doors closed to you where you're trying to promote your work and you'll get people saying, oh, I don't think that's the right fit for our podcast or our blog, or so providing a space for new authors, especially to share their work, is important. But then also finding the balance, like when you're programming your podcast, thinking about, I do need to have some established authors, because when you're growing your listenership, you want to have some variety. And especially if other authors are wanting to learn about the writing process, you need to have those established, wise authors that have gone before you to share their work. And then I pop in new authors in between, so there's a good mix, so that it's also providing everybody with an opportunity to be heard as well. Because if no one's listening, it isn't really an opportunity for anyone.
Yeah. And you told this to me yesterday as well, that like, as a literary podcast, we possibly form a very small segment of the entire community. And how do you sort of keep your motivation up in that space, and what do you feel about it?
It is difficult when you see those big, massive podcasts that are getting millions of downloads, and you think, oh, I'd like that many. But realistically, the topic that I'm discussing is not what everybody wants to listen to. So I guess that is, especially if you're planning to start your own podcast, you need to think about your market. So who are you? Who is your audience, I guess, is the best thing to say. So I understand that my audience is really only other authors or readers who might be a fan of the author that I'm interviewing. So having an expectation of millions of downloads is not realistic. And also the idea that you could make a lot of money from a podcast, because that's not necessarily realistic either. Setting your expectations where, like, if you want millions of downloads, you need to be doing a podcast that would get millions of downloads. So you would need to pick a theme and an audience that would do that. So with a literary podcast, you need to be realistic and going, okay, this is quite a niche market, but it's actually, like, for me, it's the love of chatting to other authors and learning each time I interview someone. So that is amazing, and just constantly building connections, that it really does help with networking with other authors.
Yes, I think need to be a little bit more grounded and have that really check in place when we are managing our expectations as a podcaster. And for me, it was more the opportunity to connect with creative people, know about their writing process, and see if that helps me in other ways. So you said that you are you wrote stories and you wrote a children's book. And when you interviewed, did you interview like any specific genre, or did you spoke to different genre authors and or all kinds of writers?
On my podcast, I speak to a wide range of authors. So there's times I have self-published authors on, traditionally published. I've spoken to crime writers, to picture book authors, really any way I can explore the craft of writing. So my first podcast episode this year was on songwriting, and I was very lucky to speak to Dave Faulkner, who's the songwriter and lead singer of the Hoodoo Gurus, which is an Australian band. And I've spoken to people who are writing film scripts. I try to explore in all different kinds of genres and all different kind of writing opportunities as well. So I am hoping to chat to people from literary festivals, from publishing, from publishers, trying to, just each episode being learning about the craft and the industry.
Right. Would you like to share any stories, from your podcasting experience, something that really stands out?
Well, the one with Dave Faulkner was exciting, and I hope he doesn't mind me telling this story, because I had really just kind of pitched to him, would you like to be on the podcast? And he had emailed back and said, oh, I happen to be in Brisbane this week. Why don't you come and meet me at my hotel? Bring your husband and we can chat and do the interview. And so I was fangirling over meeting my, because that band is actually my very favourite band, and I've seen them maybe 6 or 7 times. So there was me, like a little 16-year-old girl, interviewing my idol, and I kept my cool. I didn't freak out or anything, so that was good. But he was very generous with his time to meet us and do the interview. So that was very exciting. But I've also fangirled over, like, other podcasts. I've interviewed other podcasters like Danny V from Words and Nerds, Alison Tate and Megan Daly from Your Kids Next Read. So I try to keep cool every time I meet them or talk to them in a podcast. But it can be really exciting to meet the authors that you're a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm sure that was really exciting to meet a real life idol and then doing a face-to-face podcast. And I'm hoping that I'll gradually connect with other writers over Melbourne, so that maybe we can do a face-to-face interview as well. So, thanks for sharing all that experience. Now, I gradually wanted to, go towards your writing background. And can you tell us about your book?
So my first picture book that's been published is called Easy Peasy, and that's through EK Books. So it's a little story about Ruby, who gets a pair of roller skates for her birthday, and her dad offers to help her learn how to use them, and she says, "No, Dad, it's easy peasy, I can do it by myself." And as you turn the pages, you find that she's it's not as easy as she thought it would be, and then she needs to ask Dad for help. So that they then learn how to roller skate together. I hope that's not a spoiler for everyone. but I really wanted to share the message of it's okay to ask for help, because I think especially young women are taught to be independent and that we can do it all, and there is sometimes in life where there are things that you can't do or you need to learn, and it's okay to reach out to the people around you and say, "Hey, I need some help." And I just wanted to also reflect a relationship between a father and daughter that's a positive relationship as well. I was an only child, and so my I have my mum and dad, but no brothers and sisters. So a lot of the activities that I did as a kid were with my dad, where he was trying to keep me entertained, and he used to take me to the roller skating rink on a Saturday morning. And I had very fond memories of that. So I just wanted to celebrate something from my childhood as well.
That is really beautiful. I mean, I have a daughter myself, and at some stage I told her that let us write a story ourselves, and then she really liked that idea. And then now I keep seeing her, you know, trying to write something and creating a story. She rarely shares that with me, but I find it very inspiring that I gave her a good habit of, reading and writing about that.
I think that's one thing I didn't expect. Now that I've had my book published, I've had opportunities to visit schools and bookshops and libraries, and I'm also part of a program called Books in Homes. And the joy that you get as an author of being able to inspire kids to write and to read and be showing them that literacy has value, that's been a wonderful experience, just seeing the kids think, "Oh, I could write a story," and know that now will be with them for life. It's really a great, great value I've found in writing.
I have noticed something that's from talking to my daughter, that their world has expanded so much from 30 years ago that it's very difficult to satisfy their curiosity in today's information age, so to speak. I'm curious to know that how did you find that writer for children? Like they know so much. They expect a lot of things from a story, and then satisfying that from a book. Do you think that's a challenge? I mean, have you ever thought about this?
I definitely think it's a challenge. I recently did a bookstore visit with some kids, and just noticing all the things that they know that I am not necessarily across anymore. So they were talking about like YouTubers and TikTokers and things that I don't really know about, and I was like, "Oh, actually these kids are really savvy. I need to get across some of this." So I was feeling a little bit old on that day, actually. But also that I guess American influence, and that which I guess I'm a kid from the 80s. I imagine maybe my parents and the people around me were thinking that I was influenced by American TV, and now it's a little bit different in that it's social media that's really affecting kids. But I think if you write about themes that kids are interested in terms of, like, there are some themes that are universal. So if there's kids that want funny stories, you write funny stories. If there's kids that need books just to help with their imagination, you write imaginative stories. So I think if you can connect with the kids with the themes that they're interested in, you'll be able to connect with them. And things like, because most kids, there's times where they struggle at school. So if you've written a story that gives them some positive messages, that helps them. But, yeah, I do think in this digital age it's challenging if they're just interested in watching YouTube videos and playing games. How do you capture their attention with a book?
Yes, very, very well said. It's a challenge and at the same time a balance of things. And you mentioned about a few initiatives that you are a part of. I'm just curious to know about them.
So I volunteer with a program called Books in Homes, which they're a national initiative, and they organise for authors to go visit schools that are enrolled in the program, and they're usually schools that are needing some inspiration from some role models. And the program also supplies free books for the children for them to take home, and they're sponsored by Scholastic. So at this stage, I've had the opportunity to do one school visit where I've gone and presented to the school, along with some representatives from Main Freight who were sponsoring that particular event. I'm hoping to do more during the year when I have the opportunity. Just going in and interacting with the kids and telling them our own, like as an author, my own story of I once was a kid at school writing stories and now here I am as an author, and just inspiring them that it's fun to read and there's opportunity if you like to write, keep writing, because you could be an author yourself one day.
Yeah, that's inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. If you have any reference, I could put that in our episode description. That more and more people know about it, the better it is that this is possible. And then, approaching other schools and do it and create interest in children. I'm curious to read a little bit from your book. I mean, is that possible? Can you share any part of the book, like just read it maybe, or you said what the book is about?
Just bear with me. Easy Peasy is a book about Ruby getting her roller skates. Would you like me to read? It's about 400 words.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Easy Peasy. On the night of Ruby's birthday, her dad gave her a special gift wrapped in shiny paper. Ruby shook the box this way and that to see if she could guess what was inside. The box was heavy and went clunk when she shook it. What could it be? She tore the wrapping paper open to find a pair of shiny, sparkly roller skates. Best of all, they were her favourite colour, red. She loved them so much that she slept with them in her bed. Bright and early the next morning, Ruby couldn't wait to try them out. Ruby had never roller skated before, but she was sure it would be easy peasy. She put them on as soon as she got out of bed. She slowly rolled forward. Crash! Would you like me to teach you to roller skate? Dad asked with a wink. Ruby giggled. No, it's easy peasy. Why don't you try outside, Dad suggested. Ruby wobbled along and held onto the wall to keep her balance until she got outside. She pushed off from the steps and down the driveway. Wibble, wobble, bump. Ruby fell and bumped her elbow. She tried again. Wobble, wibble, thump. Ruby tumbled and bumped her knee. Would you like me to teach you to roller skate? Called Dad. No, it's easy peasy. Up she got again. Wibble, wobble, crunch. Ruby fell down and landed right on her bottom. Ruby realized roller skating was not easy peasy. That night, Ruby did not take her roller skates to bed. She packed them away in her cupboard instead. Would you like me to teach you to roller skate? Asked Dad as he tucked her in. Ruby was cross. She rubbed the bump on her knee. Roller skating is too hard. The next day, Ruby opened the cupboard and looked at her shiny red roller skates. She didn't want to give them up. She really wanted to learn how to roller skate. Dad, I think I'd like you to teach me how to skate. Dad grinned and said, let's go somewhere special. Dad took her to a place with music and flashing lights. Lots of kids were whizzing around and around. They made roller skating look easy peasy. Dad helped Ruby lace up her roller skates and said, it's okay, Ruby, I'll hold your hand so you won't fall. Dad and Ruby rolled around and around the rink slowly. This time when Ruby went wibble wobble, there wasn't a bump. Then when Ruby went wobble wibble, there wasn't a thump. Ruby couldn't stop smiling. Then Ruby took a deep breath and let go of Dad's hand. Ruby skated forwards on her own. Again, Ruby went wibble wobble, but there wasn't a crunch. Soon there wasn't a wibble or wobble at all. Ruby was skating all by herself. Dad took her hand and together they skated around and around. Ruby loved the beat of the music and the feeling of the air rushing through her hair. Ruby grinned proudly. She was whizzing around and around just like the other kids. Thanks, Dad, for showing me how. Roller skating is easy peasy. There you go.
That is amazing. And I must say that it reminded me of Roald Dahl, that the way that you put the sounds there and then the story, that just reminded me of stories I used to read to my daughter when she was a little bit smaller.
Oh, that means I've got it right. Excellent. Thank
you. No, that was really beautiful. So what is your sort of upcoming writing project?
At the moment I'm submitting manuscripts, but I haven't got another contract yet. So, I'm working on one, which is called Word Magic, which is, because I have a book written about my dad, I'm now writing one about my mum. When I was a little girl, she used to, label all the furniture and things around the house so I could learn to read. And so my story is, about that process of a mother and daughter learning to read. So I'm hoping if I send it to the right publisher, it might be my next book.
Definitely. And I wish you all the best for it. When it comes to your writing process, you told me a lot about your motivations and what kind of triggered what sort of you wanted to capture in the stories, but did you follow any particular discipline, or did you have a writing goal as to this is where you got to be, and any challenges that you can share?
I'm a bit of a pantser, so I'm not a person that plans the whole plot straight away. So I tend to sit down and write something in one go. and edit as I'm writing. So if I type a sentence and I see there's a mistake, I'll go back and change it straight away. And so in terms of preparing to be a writer, I did my Bachelor of Arts degree and majored in literature, and I've just been a reader all of my life. And how I initially started out is I just started looking at competitions and places to be published and started entering competitions and started getting some good results. I'd got the indication that I could write from getting back feedback that was positive. And initially, and I don't advise this to anyone, my idea with writing for short stories and for picture books was because they're short. And because I've got a full-time job and I've got children and I'm like, oh, I can't sit down and take 3 months to write a novel when I don't have time to do that. So initially I was looking at things that were short. But the actually becoming a published author is not a short process in any way. So that was, not the greatest plan on my part, because I was like, oh, I'll just write something quick and I'll get that published. And that's not exactly how it works.
Precisely, yes.
One thing I've found is connecting with other writers in the community. So I've joined WriteLinks, which is a Queensland-based writing group for children. I'm a member of the CBCA. Squibby is also another children's writing organisation, and just meeting other writers and learning from their experiences as well. So those people that have been published and have established careers, just learning from them and understanding what you need to do to change it, your work from a hobby to an established career. So doing things like, I'm a member of the Queensland Writers Centre and the Australian Writers Centre, doing little courses through those organisations is helpful as well. So whatever genre you want to write in, maybe look at doing some courses in what you want to specialise in, and then also while you're doing those courses, that's where you connect with other people who are wanting to write the same things as you.
Thanks for that advice. Deeply resonates with me because I write poetry, and one of the reasons doing that is that's the time I can get from my day job and other responsibilities, and I focus my creative energy on that short window available. I mean, as much as I would love to write a novel, I wouldn't have the time for it, at least right now where I am in my career. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that advice. I'm sure that any creative people who are following this podcast, they at least know that there are so many different ways of becoming a writer, the creative path. I mean, of course, everyone has to find what works best for them. But knowing about different writers and their creative process, that is truly inspiring, I feel. And you talked about creating the literary podcast and the motivation behind it. That I think that has really touched me, and it tells me that I should keep going and doing this. And you know, maybe help people so that they can be heard in a way they want to be.
Well, I think, yeah, definitely sharing other people's work is a wonderful way to give back to the community, and you find that it just rewards you back as well, because it turns into a reciprocal thing where people are then giving back to you and sharing your work as well because of what you're giving out.
Yes. So thank you for joining me today on this episode, and it was lovely to read about your book, and yeah, it's not easy peasy.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.